You are listening to The Three Intuitive Healers with Heather Nicholson, Angela Johnson, and Stephanie Gonzalez. Produced by The Three Intuitive Healers Show. Visit thethreeintuitivehealers.com for articles and podcast shows discussing our personal insights and sharing our experiences with you. It is our belief that every human is an intuitive and every human has the capacity to heal. We'll take you along with us on a journey of self-growth and healing so you too can open your mind, heart, and life to the healing magic within. Thank you for tuning into the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. I'm your host, Heather Nicholson.
Angela Johnson.
I'm Stephanie Gonzalez.
So I wanted to share with you ladies something that I went through today that I think is something we can all relate to. I was having a day, first of all, let me preface this by saying I've been exhausted because I'm having hot flashes and it was, I don't even know. Like, it's been a week of just not sleeping. And so I was already coming into Monday morning, as we say, crunchy and a little emotional and just a short amount of energy, adaptive energy. So I was dealing with a developer that needed help with a client who is, it's all over email, but it's rather abusive. It's this sort of snap your fingers, writing back to her in all caps what's wrong and that it needs to be done immediately. And so my developer came to me and said, I need help because this is not right. And I need help. I don't know how to phrase this. So I stepped in and kind of sent an email, very calm, outlining. And it required help from my boss just to make sure I was getting the terminology right. And then, of course, the client got upset. And it was just a bunch of kind of maintaining this calm exterior while inside I was really getting, she was really getting under my skin. I was really getting upset. I was really, she is abusive. And all of a sudden I had this moment where I could recognize, yeah, I'm upset and I have a reason to be upset, but also there's the soul of me who can see all of this as a game. All of this is not real. And I know either reality, I can slip into either reality. And so I had this moment of, Angela, you know, this is not real. You know, you're going to feel better if you can come at this from the heart center, from the soul aspect of this, and just make the choice. Just make the choice. And so I did it. And there was this moment of, it's like, no, stop. Just stay in the soul part of it. And don't try to make the other side feel better yet. It's not going to feel better yet. Just stay in the soul aspect. And so that's where I wrote the email response to her response to. And it was interesting to be not outside of my body, but to be an observance of, I really, I'm frustrated, I'm having my feelings hurt, and yet I can observe it and come from the observer's, have my email's voice be from the observer's rather than the person who is going through the emotion. So it was kind of a cool lesson that I was going through. And in the end, I was able to call up my developer and say, okay, I'm gonna back down and I'm gonna let this woman's work go through, but I want you to understand, you know, this is what we're going to work on. You and I are going to make a project of this so that something like this doesn't happen again. And we can't change her, but we can come out of this stronger. And so it was this really neat little thing that my developer and I are going through together. And we came out stronger. And yes, there were tears. I was like crying on my husband's shoulder. And as I was trying to shift over from being in the thick of it and just stay in the observer mode. But I was able to do it. And I was able at the same time to be grateful to this horrible, okay, maybe I'm not completely over it. This client, I was able to be grateful and frustrated at her at the same time. Like nothing, there's no kumbaya when I look at this woman, but I can still be grateful and see the benefit she's giving me. It's kind of like, even though you're grateful for the shot of medicine you're about to get, it doesn't take the pain of the shot of medicine away. It's just, you can see the bigger picture. So that's what I was having this afternoon. And I was just curious as to how you ladies encounter that. And of course, I'm sure our listeners can identify in some way, whether it's work or family or whatnot. that sort of things getting under your skin and making that choice of what angle are you going to come at this from.
Well, let me ask you this, Angela. What would a typical response would have been if you weren't mindful of what you were going to be putting out, what you were going to be engaging in? What would your quick response would have been?
The response would have been the same, okay. But the holding onto it and the demonizing of her would still be going on. And I have to say, other than just catching myself now labeling her horrible, instead of just client, that didn't happen. And Heather said something a moment ago, which I thought was so great. She said, sometimes your ears need to hear it. Saying it out loud to you guys, saying it out loud to my developer and then to my boss, just saying what I just told you really helped me sort of decompress, because no, the response would have been the same. That's why they call me in, because I'm able to be calm and at least have my responses seem like I understand their perspective, even if inside I'm seething. But what was neat is I was eventually able to get to a place where the inside and the outside did match. My response and my feelings are in sync, instead of me having to fake it till I make it type thing.
So good. So I'm understanding you. So you weren't apt to be confrontational. That's not the issue. The issue is then holding on to that anger, letting it continue to brew in you and projecting all that negativity, like as she is this monster, when you're the one that took on that her energy, and you just owned it yourself and fueled it. So that's huge. That is wonderful to be in a place now. And still, you're still a little, not rocked by it, but you're still a little affected. So you're using verbiage. It's nothing, you know, to be embarrassed about, but I'd like very much, and this is of course, you know where I stand on the four agreements. So this is a perfect example of not taking something personally and owning it. And when we're able to see that, regardless of how kind or unkind this lady is being with how she dialogues or how she writes or corresponds, we always have 100% control on how we are able to react to it, and then how we are able to leave with it. You know, this is not going to be a problem tonight. It's not going to be a problem tomorrow for you. It's settled. You moved on. You have a new relationship, of course, now with the developer and what you both will continue to do. And that's huge. That is the gift that we give to ourselves when we don't make it about us. You know, I had a teeny tinge of that this morning, in that I had a contractor who was supposed to be coming over for an appointment, and he called probably about a half hour, it wasn't much notice, to say he wasn't well and he wasn't going to make it. And of course, you know, I wished him well, get better. And then when I started with the little mind thing of, well, you know, I wish he would have gave me more notice, because I got up early, I did all this stuff. And I was taking it personal, making it about me. And then I said, look, the universe said it's not today. You know, there's a reason why we're not meeting today. And I appreciate he didn't come over sick. And, you know, this is no big deal. Nothing is going to affect my day. I've got more time now, you know, and I just took it back, released it. But the old behavior from many years ago would have been seething because of the expectations I had on this person, right? On everybody. Yeah. So it's that little things. And it doesn't mean that we still don't trip up, but we own it at that point. We say, how is this really affecting me? Why is this even about me? You know,
I people think the cancel, release right?
It is a release.
Release is quicker. Yes. You know, yes. I know I'm still having the feelings and the reaction, but the release right now is quicker. And so yes. I can, like, okay, got it. I'm right again. So yeah.
You don't wear that cloak of disdain and anger that we put on ourselves. And it's such self-punishment, but it's you know, behavior. And once you continue to go through it, now, certainly I would have to admit, at least for me, it's harder to perhaps be in that mindset with those closest to us, you know, family members that we deal with on a regular basis, much easier with the stranger, but that's okay. You get to practice on, right, the strangers, and you keep coming back to reset. And Heather's shaking her head. So what can you say about that, Heather?
Well, it just, you know, having family members and whatnot, people know so close to you, you know, it's for me when I can feel when I call it the flipping the switch. Cause I feel like I can actually feel it. I can get to that bubble part and I'm like, do I want to flip my switch? And I've gotten to the point where, like, I'm going to flip my switch. So, and then And it's so unique to, you know, actually be there and have a choice, because before I didn't notice that I had a choice. It was just instantaneous, fly off the handle and, you know, make you feel like a penny waiting for change. So Stephanie's laughing.
I love your logic there, Heather. It's so funny. But Heather, if I can expand on what you say and ask you, I think what, like, when you say you have a choice and you flip or switch, and sometimes it is okay because sometimes you're setting boundaries too. Is that not the case when you
know about that for me, because I can go nuclear. It's not pretty, and I don't like the person who I am when I do that, because it's, I go from one extreme to the other. There is no middle ground. So it's best that I just, I wait, because even, even Brian and I were talking about this yesterday. I didn't talk to him about something that really hurt my feelings until months later, until I just blew up on him and I was just like, ah! And so, and it, he's like, why don't you just tell me right then and there? And I was like, you don't understand. I need to walk away or just leave it be until I can get to a position of where I can talk to you calmly. Otherwise, I know what, since I was a little kid, I've always known I could dig deep into people's shadow self. I've always known people's shadow self. So it was very easy for me to pick up on that. And if they were to ever hurt me, I would use that against them. So, and I know that's something that, that needs to be worked on. And so I have been working on that for a long time. So now I just, now it's just, it's like, it's one or the other. And
the trick is coming back though. The trick is coming back. Don't you wish you could just be like, when you're whoever, just look them in the eyes and be like, remember this moment. I'm not going to tell you why, but in 2 months from now, when I can talk to you about it, we're going to discuss this moment.
Yeah. And he's still like, why can't you just talk to me? And I was like, no, you just allow me to walk away and step away from this moment, because I will not be pretty. And I told him one time, I said, you know, the way that we both are is if I go after you, you go after me. And then we're back and forth, and it's friendship ending time. So just let me be. So,
you know, I'm similar to that. And I forget who it was with when I finally got the clarity of, okay, I'm asking for space, but they also need
to respect boundaries.
Well, just as I need space, they need to know when to expect the conversation. Otherwise they're left in free fall. And I've found that if I can say, I really need to not talk about this right now, but if we can talk later on tonight, I'm going to be in a better headspace so I can actually talk to you, because you're right, something is wrong. And I'm not just going to say fine, it's not fine, but I don't have the words yet. So.
Oh, that's a good one.
That really helps.
Yeah.
Because I'm like you, either, you know, we're going to go full, full Southern, you know, because when I get angry, my drawl comes out and it's like, and I don't want that. I actually want to be able to communicate.
Yeah.
But I'm going to need a moment. And I know that you need some clarity, because I don't want you to be left high and dry.
Exactly.
So let's do each other a favor and talk about this at this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're
And I remember one time, I think Angela, you and I were walking the halls at the hospital, and I was getting myself worked up because people were coming to me saying that the management had issues with, I forget what it was, but I was getting worked up with it. And then all of a sudden I was like, how do I come from grace? Like, I choose not to do this. How do I come from grace? And then as soon as I said that, there was a change within me physically. I felt like I got zapped by a bolt of lightning and I had to hold on to the wall, I think. And I was just like, holy cow, what, my whole, everything changed. And then also at the same time, management had a meeting that day with each other and says, you know what? It's okay. Let her do whatever she needs to do. So talk about
just saying the words.
Yeah.
That was when you were going to work from home at your job.
Yeah. And they weren't,
they were fighting you on that, even though that's the parameters of why they hired you.
Yeah.
I do remember that, where it's like, you know what? This isn't your fight. You had an agreement. Give them time to work it out. And then you can see what boundary you need to defend if there is one. Yeah. And it turns out there wasn't one.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yeah. The same day they had a meeting and between the two bigwigs. And it was just like, you know what? It's okay. She can work from home.
There you go.
Worked
herself out. And I was like, oh yeah. And just because I wanted to choose to come from grace. And that's all I needed to say. Mm-hmm. I choose to come from grace.
But then you did it. So your energy shifted. And so the energy around that situation radically shifted because you really did what you said. When you said, I want to come from grace, you actually did. So there was a grace energy that was floating through it, which I think then the other people involved could work in.
Yeah, because I was working myself up for a fight and I already had a fight going on in my head. The bag of cats were going and it was not pretty.
I think
a lot of our issues, personally, I think, come from the expectations we have, you know, of others, how we expect them to talk to us, to write to us, to respond to us, and vice versa. They have the same expectations, right? Especially, again, with loved ones. And when we do the work and we learn to be responsible for not only our behavior, but our reaction is just as important as our behavior. And when we learn to respond instead of react, we save ourselves so much, you know, strife, and we really can find that peace. It's not easy all the time. Certainly, there's going to be days where you're just not in the mood to play that one, and it's going to be you get sparked, and you know you're going to react how you're going to react. But like Angela was saying, hopefully you're able to get back in that place and reassess everything, have that discussion with yourself. And then drop it, leave it, and move forward. You know, it doesn't go into silent treatment. It doesn't go into ruined friendships or bad relationships at work, what have you. Because we're human. We're going to continually be, our buttons are going to be pushed and we're going to, and it's not a mistake. We're just going to respond in ways that we think we could have done better. Yeah. Right. And we all have different triggers. So who knows? I mean, it could be something minor, it could be something big, but in the end, if we always just go back to, I have full responsibility and I do always have a choice on how I'm going to take this and how I'm going to react. It's if you just talk to yourself all the time, you may not always do your best work, but it's always going to come to mind so that you can do it next time, you know, or in 5 minutes whenever the poker or the bear comes back.
And you know, it's true. It's that moment of, for me, when I stopped this afternoon, when I stopped trying to justify it, I had every reason to be upset. She was not very skilled at communication. I was exhausted. I've got 40 million things on my plate. Like I started going through, you know, kind of all the justifications I have for losing it. And it's like, that's so true. It's so true. And you could lose it. And it's kind of understandable, but what would actually feel better long-term? It's like when Heather felt better when she came from grace. And that's what ultimately was helpful was, yeah, you're right. This is crappy, but play in the soul area. Doesn't that feel better right now? So let's just stay there because you've got enough on your plate that's crappy. Let's stay in the area that feels good. So yeah, it's when you get on the other side, it's kind of neat and fascinating.
It really is. I saw something, I don't know if you ladies saw it, was on the internet today. It was a scene from Arizona of women fighting at Bath and Body Works. And just, they got two employees caught in a scuffle with an employee. I mean, just on the floor, tussle women, you know. And what came to mind was how bad do things got to get, or how much hurt are you carrying around in anger? That's what the end result's going to be, because all three of them, regardless of who did what, you know, the three people decided to go full force into it. And I just hope, and I think of me, I mean, I can't imagine that would ever be the case. I don't know though. You know, I've never been accosted. Maybe if someone slapped me across the head at, you know, that I'm not going to be kumbaya in the moment and just try to talk it out, but maybe I will, because I never believed in turning the cheek. That's something that seemed weak. So I always thought if you strike me, then you're going to lose your hand. But I don't no longer think that way anymore. I really don't think violently or in retaliation anymore. I really do hope that if I'm ever affected so much, I mean, again, I don't want to be tested. Don't put this out in the universe. I'm not going to do a test, but I just hope I could be able to never lose myself to that capacity. And I think because of the healing work, that won't be the case. And I wish for everyone to continue to chip away at that anger, that hurt, those responses, so that this is never your reality either, regardless of what someone does to you. I mean, we're not saying it's right, whoever started the whole situation, but we don't have to participate in it, right, to that extreme. There's many solutions. Maybe some have less than others, but this,
well, I think we can relate to it. I think we can relate to that moment.
Getting that angry.
And I've often said, this is why I've not been gifted with the one thing I really want, which is to be able to move things with my mind. Because if that was the case, I'd be throwing bodies left and right. You know, I'm not at all. But, you know, but when it comes to actually, ooh, I'd have to actually slap someone. Okay, hold on. You know, that's something that's not a barrier that I ever want to break or have, you know, broken. But I can relate to that rage of wanting to, you know, so it's something where you're right. It starts to become more compassion. Like, I'm sure I can understand how angry those women were. I can do that. Now, I don't believe, knock on wood, that I would ever get to that level of fighting. But then again, if you gave me a superpower, I might have pushed one of them across the room, you know, because you just flick your wrist and they're out of your way. But we can all relate to, I think, the anger of it, which I think, again, helps mitigate. I'm finding more and more, the more I can bring compassion into it and a sense of understanding, the less likely I'm going to take it personally.
You know, I'm laughing because I'm thinking, can you imagine if someone is just ranting in a store, even, you know, we see customers complain and go off. If someone just went up to them and just, can I give you a hug? Can I just hold you in this moment? Can you imagine? Like, would you be more mad if someone came up to you when you're already angry? Or would you collapse with that? How could you be angry when someone's offering you love? Isn't it interesting to wonder how compassion can be received in that moment? I don't know. I've been angry. And do you really want to hug when you're super angry? Probably no. Not, yeah, right?
That's going to depend on the person.
Don't try this at home.
To all our listeners, we're not advocating this.
Can we send Reiki balls? How do we offer compassion if we're both in it or just a bystander? What do you ladies think? If we see a heated argument between two people and it's just, you know, they're throwing terrible insults to each other and it's ugly, What can we do as bystanders or as, you know, participants, make better decisions and show that compassion that Angela was talking about?
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. I have witnessed things and I have been compelled to get in there, and I've been compelled other times where it's just not my thing. I can tell, and I won't interact.
Yeah.
So for instance, when I was at CVS one night, there was two people about to get into it. And all of a sudden, as I was walking out, one of them was a big guy, and I put my hand on his chest. I said, don't let them get the better of you. Don't let them get the better of you. And he walked out. That was happening, and the words were out of my mouth before I knew it. You know, so that was clearly like, okay.
Spirit coming through. Oh, yeah.
That's pretty remarkable. Wow.
And he walked out, and by the time I got into my car and I looked back, all parties were talking to each other. You know, they had calmed down. There have been other times where it's escalating and I'm like, this isn't my, I can tell I'm not supposed to this. Now, clearly if a dog or a child or a woman, you know, if somebody at disadvantage was being hurt, I'd probably jump in, but that wasn't the case. It was just like, okay, this is not me. And I think somebody else stepped in. So for me, the instances that have been around this, it's been very clear when I'm supposed to be a part of it and when I'm not. And I honor that.
That's very interesting. Thank you. Wow. That's pretty amazing. You know, that's pretty, because it takes guts and courage to inject yourself there, but you brought a sense of peace in that moment, which is so surprising because most people get in and just start making matters worse. Everyone just starts picking sides and it just tends to get frenzied. This was an opportunity to deflect it, take away that anger, and they worked it out. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty wild.
Again, we're not advocating this for to our listeners.
Yeah, don't jump in. Especially right now, you're not supposed to be touching anyone. So,
oh yeah, please don't do this. This was clearly pre-COVID. Yeah.
That is so funny. Heather, you've been kind of quiet.
I have. Well, yeah. I haven't experienced much.
Have you not had too many
people?
Confrontation or issues?
It's mostly couples around me that have been arguing. So, I mean, one of them, we were out dancing and I stepped in the middle and he was about to go off and I just politely informed and I said, don't make me manhandle you in front of all these people. I will. I'm a big girl. So, you know, it's going to be embarrassing for a guy to be manhandled. So, but I told him, I said, look, get over to the corner. And he was trying to launch at her. And I said, no. I said, do not make me manhandle you because I will.
Wow. That whole story from beginning to end, like you were dancing, things that you would never hear me say.
I was out dancing, not going to be an Angela.
I was out dancing. Yeah. Like already I don't understand the context. But that was, again, did you find yourself like not even debating? It was just sort of like you were in it.
Yeah, I just stepped in the middle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my other friend got the girl and walked her to the other side, and because she was about to throw a glass drink at him. So,
holy crap.
Yeah, it was getting ugly. So, and I just was like, nope, we're not doing this. And you just see a whole bunch of people just start looking around. And I was like, yeah, do you want them watching you? Come on.
Was that before cell phones and, you know, where everyone had one?
No,
or was
there
was
cell
phones. No, they could have been. Yeah, they could have been fully recorded. I mean, you're not that old, but just saying before we all start literally filming.
15 years ago.
That's another thing. Be mindful of, you know, get caught up in the moment. You may regret what's being filmed. So, you know, if anything's a reason, absolutely, to perhaps put your best foot forward, it's to not circulate the internet, your job, your life, whatever.
Yeah.
Try to solve it another way.
If they're arguing, or, you know, I've even put myself in a position where the friends, we were out dancing again and the friends just dropped this girl off next to me and she was toasted. She was knocked out and this guy honed in on her and I knew that he wasn't her friend or anything. And then he's tried to take her away. And I said, get your hands off her. I will call security. No, no, she's with me. And I was like, my big bun, she's not. So we babysat her for a couple of hours and then her friends came back and we lit into them. So yeah, I got, you know, I'll get pissed on that one. You know what?
Yeah.
Your friend was almost just violated because you just dropped her off somewhere and couldn't care.
That's when you need to towel snap because they're not going to understand.
Yeah.
That was big. You saved a woman.
Yeah.
I think clearly the solution is do not go dancing.
There you go. Dancing never helped. See, I'm looking at that from a different point of view. I think what you did was great, Heather, but
good
because I've removed so much blame constantly on others and realizing, and really what we've talked about, kids, when we talk about everything's extension of us, the mirrors, we talk about nothing's real. We throw all that in that mush pot. And so my mind finds it very difficult then that I would hold the other people responsible because, you know, this girl is responsible for herself, number one. So she started the whole thing and that she possibly drank too much, put herself in that situation. The friends need to be aware of it, that here, this could have happened. But in the end, it's still us. You know, we have to realize that everyone's just a role and we're responsible for ourselves. Heather got in and helped this girl. But, you know, is it worth fighting like another group and telling them everything they did wrong? That's where I just, like, for me, I probably wouldn't. It works out good for me, too, because I'm not one to insert myself in like situations just out of, that's just been my long, and I'm not saying in a prideful way. I'm just always been like, I ain't getting involved in that thing.
In that case, I would insert myself because she didn't bring this on herself. She drank too much. Nobody deserves to be violated. I don't care.
No, well, absolutely not. Right.
So, and I'm not saying that's what you're saying, but.
Right, exactly.
You're right. She needs to be smarter about it, but we have no idea if she even finished her drink. She could have just been slipped something. Like, we don't know what the story is. And even if she did drink herself into excess, nobody has the right to approach her and try to do something to her. So that's more, that guy needs to learn the lesson. He needs to, he's the bad guy. She made poor choices. You shouldn't have a life-ruining event happen to you because you made a mistake, an innocent mistake like that. And we don't know the agreements that she had with her friends. They might have been like, you go crazy tonight. We're going to take care of you. And then they just dropped her. You know, it's like, we don't know. But I think in that case, you do step in and you say, because the potential of a disaster is still there. Unless she's up and walking around and coherent, her friends need to understand what just almost happened because they've got a long night ahead of them. They need to take care of her. So I'm just pushing back a little bit on that.
Yeah, no, again, there's really, I just don't see it as any right or wrong. You know, it is what it is. And that's the way, that's my belief system right now, which is, it's not putting your head in the sand. I really don't believe I am, but it's removing myself from inserting in cases that fully don't, they just don't affect me. Now, what Heather did, like I was saying, you know, obviously that was kudos to her for protecting this girl. And at that point, then giving her to the friends and go on. But I just don't like things like to start telling people how to behave, or you should have done this, you should do that. That's what I'm saying for me is everyone's got a role. And we talk about that here. We talk about people are the contrast and people are the light. People have roles. You guys have talked about contracts of with souls. So that's why I just can't understand how we can talk about so many of those topics, but yet still feel that we have to be involved in so much, you know, and in the right, because okay, for me going on a long, long way of saying this is, okay, what's right and wrong? It's always going to be, you know, a subjective determination of that. So I guess that's why I saw that there was judgment of the friends and we don't know the situation. So that's why I guess I was resisting that when we start inserting ourselves to make a ruling, what you did was terrible. We don't know what they did. I mean, at this point she got off, but.
I mean, I understand. I can relate to what you're saying. I'm coming at it from a different camp just because the woman was almost violated. So clearly they were not being responsible. And if they were never knew that, they might do it again. You know, I think that was timely feedback. I think they needed to know what almost happened. And
right. I hear you on that.
So, absolutely. But I also get what you're saying. I just think in that moment, if I had been there, clearly, you know, it's like that whole thing we talked about. Like if you're in the dream and you believe you're in the dream, then you have to operate by the rules of the dream. But yes, you can also come above the dream and see how everything plays its part. But in that instance, I think I would behave the way I know I would behave the way Heather did, because I don't want some woman to be violated because I'm having a philosophical debate in my head. And I know that's not what you're doing.
But no, it's a fine line. I just see it as right, because there's going to be many instances in our life, I imagine, where the old self maybe would have been more confrontational, would have really took on a different role. And the new self of standing back and understanding life, the way I perceive it, is just not going to be judge anymore type thing. It's one thing, again, we talk about harm, but you know, at what point, I guess it's a fine line. So we have to ask ourselves, at what point is it too much, right? When it's one thing if it's a person's well-being, but it's a fine line. It just is a fine line, right? Because it seems like when people start interfering and telling people how to behave and how to do things, that just leads to another whole escalation. So that's why I'm just kind of looking at this and thinking about, you know, it's tricky. It really is tricky, because we speak so much on this show about a lot of concepts that we see life is not so 3D. It's all spiritual and bigger, but yet when it is human, and I'm not, again, it's not a judge on either one of you or blaming. I'm just saying it's very confusing to me sometimes, right? When I look at it and
completely get what you're saying, because you're right. We do talk about these concepts, but then when we're in it, we act differently sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes they just both,
yeah,
they both coexist. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it had been your daughter that this had happened to, would you have just sent her off with the friends again and not said anything? Or what would your, would you immediately go into, well, these things happen, there's no right or wrong. Like, would that be a different reaction for you if it was your daughter that Heather had saved?
I have, you know what, and I'll answer that truthfully because I do think about these things, especially as a mother who's, it was very hard when the kids started going out on their own and being out of my vision and how I dealt with it, because I was very fear-based all my life, is I had to go to that place that regardless of what happens, it's beyond me. You know, I've taught them to make their best choices. And I believe that they've got angels, they've got protection, that this is not their their experience they need to have on the look. That's I'm coming from that place because that's my comforting self, yeah, in order to detach from the what ifs. Because if I worry about the what ifs, it's going to be a fear-based worry. So I have said, well, if something happens while they're out and about, I'm going to have to believe that it was their experience that needed to happen, and I'll deal with that at another time, you know? Yeah. And that was not an easy thing to do. And I'm not saying it's right for everyone by any stretch, but you know what wasn't right was constantly worrying. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? Because that's was the way I was raised. And that's how I was always trained to think of the worst case scenario. So don't do this. Don't do that. That'll equal this. And you know, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. It's very life limiting. And I found another way. And that's, this is how I cope. So maybe that's why I don't want to say the word, it's easier for me to detach, but how I see it differently than you both now is because I've chosen to detach from the outcome of what each person may experience in order to say life is going to be lived. And if they want to dance, and if it's dangerous, as Angela says, it could be, right?
I'm really thinking.
They're, at least they went out and did it, right? Yeah, yeah. Because I've come to that part, right? What would I have rather had? Something happen to, you know, my daughter or my son in their youth, or have them longer, but they've never known the experience of doing something on their own, right? Climbing that mountain or taking a trip or doing whatever. And I just thought, no, I want them to live. And again, I'm just going to believe that they're traveling safely and they're living safely, but I'm going to understand that nothing's guaranteed, you know? And so anyway, that's my mindset in 2021 at this time. And I know I get some flack sometimes on it, but that's my coping skills. And that's the way I choose to see it. And what it is, people too, I will say, is there's a great faith that I have in the unseen. And that is whether you call it divine, my angels, spirit guides, that's where my comfort goes to. I feel that me, my family, my friends are protected. And of course, a good dose of Reiki everywhere they go. So.
You know, I kind of look at it as, this was before Reiki came into my life, before I was spiritual woo-woo, you know, in it. that was long before it wasn't even a glimpse in my eye. But I kind of think of it as a spirit guide being like, hey, she needs somebody to watch out after her. Yeah. So I kind of think that, like, you know, you would hope your angels or spirit guides are out there. I think the same thing for her. Because I've always been like the mama of the group. I've always liked to take care of people. So it didn't matter who you were.
I think that's great, Heather. We're showing different perspectives on how we see things. You know, and again, there's nothing right or wrong. It's just what we feel is called upon us at that time and how we would deal with it, which is, you know, it gives people, I think, other alternatives to understand you can get involved. You can't get involved. You have options, you know, whatever you feel is right.
No right is wrong.
Right, absolutely.
And I think just don't come at it from an ego. Like, I'm going to show everyone. Like, with the instances that Heather and I mentioned, we were kind of acting on it before we realized we were acting on it. You know, it's like sometimes I do think we're the people that somebody else's angels have moved into place to either, you know, be that shield, be that block. And then sometimes, you know, you're just there because you just want your point to be made, and that's never, it's like, no, that's not your business at all. That's an ego thing. So And then, you know what? If you're not called to it, you're not called to it. I think there's no right, there's no wrong in this. It's just what is authentic for you in that moment.
I know you said something there, Angela. It kind of made me think that there might be something when you said about being called to get involved, that there might be more resistance with me on that, just because my own fear base of dealing with people. Because what came to mind was what I probably would, I haven't think twice when it is an animal that needs me, that needs help, right? I'll just jump right in and do what's necessary, because there's going to be, you know, I'm not going to get yelled at by the other squirrels, or, you know, I'm not going to have the lizard family, you know, chastise me for making that decision. And yet I think that might be an issue with people, is I'm apt to not want to get judged for having said something, having done something. So yeah, I'll explore that. And that could be a bigger issue for me than.
But how beautiful, or maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
just why look at it as an issue?
Animals. Mm-hmm. That's so many people I know would just walk by, and that mm-hmm. breaks my heart just because it's an animal. It's like, no, imagine if that was a child, would you jump in? It's so, I think the world needs more people like you that's called to help the animals. I love that. I don't think it's a problem at all. I think you're just guided.
That's just the role.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is somewhere else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't look at not wanting to help somebody else as an issue. Mm-hmm. Look at, is it, does it affect you? Does it bother you in this moment that you don't go out and help somebody else?
Yeah, no.
Ask yourself. So you know what? Then honor that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And don't think of it as an issue just because, you know, you want to help animals more than you do people. It's not for you right now. So.
Well, and it's something that I relate to more and more, Stephanie. So, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing. Again, I feel like there's so.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get people to understand that animals have souls. Animals want to live. Like, be that moment of grace for an animal. Don't just think, oh, well, call of the wild. You know, that's like circle of life. I love that you get involved. So yeah, you're not being called to help here because you're on call for when the animal needs you. I think it all works.
It's a good way to look at it. I thank you for that. I'll let you people be the rescuers on the dance scene. And
I'm never going dancing. Just based on what Heather said, it seems like a horrifying area that I don't want to explore.
No, I'm sure it's not, Heather. Oh my gosh, that's funny. But no, you
can meet some amazing people out there while dancing. Oh, absolutely. I've met some amazing people.
Yeah. You know, while we're talking about the subject of dancing, I'd like to, you know what, dancing is, I've never been a big dancer. I mean, I did do dancing in the 1900s during the 80s and early 90s. And then it just stopped, and because I didn't want to be watched, you know, and I've sat out many, many, many dances for many functions and always been told, let's go out there. I'm like, no, my knee hurts, you know, oh, this, oh, the wrong shoes. I mean, a lot of that was true, but still, it's just, and dancing is an expression, and I haven't ever wanted to express myself with all the eyes. And I think as we're changing, of course, this podcast and writing and discussing things that we have, it's slowly allowing me to express myself. So I hope in the future that there's dancing, and not because I really like to or want to, but because I'll feel safe enough to do it. You know,
I hope so too for you.
I think so. They have that crazy dance class, right? Don't you? Have you ever seen one of those where it's like, it's called free dancing, and they just like put on music and people just,
oh,
like,
yeah, go Jess does crazy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jess does that. One of does the she? Girls at the Reiki share Reiki? That we're at. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they just they flop their bodies and they just do their expression. And that was probably what I need to do, because there's no certain, you don't have to be in the rhythm of that song. Like, you know, people are watching each other, how they're dancing. This is just expression. It's just being, just pouring it out. So that might be the way.
So I challenge you, Stephanie, to, you know, when you're in your bedroom, crank up the music and just try it.
I flip flop around. Yeah, I do. You know, but that's so different than, of course, being out there on the dance floor. I think that's inside true. Of me, it's kind of like the jerk, if you guys ever saw Steve Martin, right? You know, it's like the tail wiggles and you can find the beat, but there's such a stiffness and a rigidness that won't allow it.
Let your hair down.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, goes back to what we were talking about in being able to help or to involve ourselves in confrontations or in dialogues, it's just allowing yourself to just be who you are and express yourself instead of worrying about how other people are going to perceive it or if you're going to get in trouble or
yeah,
whatever the case. Just if it's in your best interest, do it, right? If it's coming from the soul, partake in it. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Well, maybe Heather will take us dancing sometime and we'll let everybody know.
God, no. Unless it's that free form class. I'm staying away from Heather and the dance floor.
Too much happens with Heather.
Yeah, man.
All right, ladies. I think that's all the time that we have today. We like to thank the listeners for tuning in to the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. We hope you're able to find the healing magic within.
Thank you for listening to us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. Remember, when we open ourselves to healing, we positively affect our environment. This podcast represents the opinion of the Three Intuitive Healers and their guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical or psychological advice and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Each person is unique, so please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we share is accurate, no guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made in this podcast.